Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. I also like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. And a big shout out to everybody from around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service NIRS. Or if you're tuning in via our website, which is 989fm.com.au, and via our website, this program is podcasted. So don't forget to check out this program once it's uploaded later on in the day, and also previous Let's Talk programs. You can also stream us via digital platforms, and those platforms beaming us into your communities. And as always, it is great to have your company. So over the last week, the ABC, an ABC sports journalist has been uncovering and doing lots of digging in regards to the AFL. And I recently got to speak with this journalist as well about some of his discoverings regarding one of the co-founders and pioneers of AFL. I'll just read you the heading for this article, and then I'll bring my guest in. Research discovery suggests AFL pioneer Tom Wills participated in massacres of Indigenous people. So over the last week, from last Sunday to yesterday, there have been three articles that have come out. They're all up on the ABC website, so I do urge you to check it out. But on the program, we are going to discuss in full length all three articles. So I'll bring my guest in now. Good morning, Russell. How you going, mate?
Good, thanks, Bo.
Awesome. Just before going any further, tell us a bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you get up to.
Self-taught journalist. I work for ABC Sport, and I've been working for them for a couple of years now, and I'm based down in Frankston on the Mornington Peninsula in Victoria.
Awesome. Cheers, mate. Last weekend, actually, we had a chat last week before the series of articles came out. We had a bit of a chat about your work, and in particular these series of articles that you were doing. You were researching and chatting to sort of different historians and researchers who may know something in regards to Tom Wills or just in regards to our frontier conflict as well. Could you tell us a bit about how this sort of surfaced for yourself and how it came about?
Sure. So the story really came about because a Melbourne-based sports researcher named Gary Fearon, he'd been researching Tom Wills, the founder of Australian Rules Football, for about 10 years. And during Gary's research process, he uncovered a lot of information that previous scholars hadn't. And one of the reasons for that is because certainly since Greg DeMore wrote his biography of Wills in the mid-2000s, what's happened since then is there's been a real digital revolution of newspaper archives, and that's opened up a lot of resources that weren't previously available to people. Gary Fearon is probably one of many who, you know, in that digital revolution has sort of, he's not a professional historian, but he's devoted a lot of time to uncovering things about Tom Wills particularly that weren't previously known. And somewhere along the line, he discovered this Chicago Tribune article from 1895. Now, this is an American newspaper, so it's an unusual source. And Australian historians have generally focused on material from Australia, Great Britain, and New Zealand, but Gary's sort of looked further afield than that. And this particular article was interesting for a couple of reasons. Not only that it suggested that Tom Wheels had participated in reprisal attacks after the Cullen/Lorengo massacre, in which his father and 18 other white settlers died. This was the largest massacre of white settlers by Indigenous people. A lot has been written about it over the years, but in a paradoxical way, it hasn't actually been studied so closely by scholars. And what's always been known is that, and focused on really, is the massacre of the whites. Now, preceding that, that was actually a revenge attack for the killing of local Gairi people on the neighbouring property of Rainworth, which was run by a local settler named Jesse Gregson. So a lot of the focus has always been on what Wills lost and the deaths of the Wills party, which were significant. What the focus hasn't been on is that, firstly, that was a retribution, and secondly, that the reprisal attacks for those 19 deaths resulted in Aboriginal deaths totalling at least, according to Dr. Timothy Bottoms, who's an authority on this matter, he estimates at least 370 Aboriginal deaths in retaliation. So a ratio of killing of 20 to 1, really. And what's always eluded scholars is whether Tom Wills was involved in this retribution. He was away getting supplies when the Cullen/Lorengo massacre occurred. A few days later, he returned. And the story has always been that he tended to the sheep and that the settlers from the neighbouring properties went out seeking revenge. In saying that, it's never been the subject. The Cullen/Lorengo massacre has never been the subject of serious academic study. So there's always been a mystery, and a lot of people have thought, well, you know, maybe Tom Wills didn't get involved, because what we know is that 5 years later he became the leader of the first Aboriginal cricket team. We know that he grew up among Jabwarung Aboriginal people, that he spoke their language, that he played their sports, that he did their dances. And a lot of biographers have concluded that that means he held, there was no animosity, that the fact that he coached this team 5 years later showed that he didn't blame Aboriginal people for the death of his father. And indeed, a couple of years after the Cullen/Lorengo massacre, Wills accepted an account by an Aboriginal, a local Aboriginal, that the original attack had been revenge against Gregson and that it was a case of mistaken identity. Wills accepted that. But what we didn't know was in the immediate aftermath whether he participated in the reprisal attacks. Now, this Chicago Tribune article suggests that he did indeed participate in those reprisal attacks. There's a couple of important things to note about the document. It's full of errors. It was published 34 years after the Cullen/Lorengo massacre, which one thing I discovered in the process of telling this story is that some of the most important accounts of massacres, they occur well after the fact. And that was a byproduct of the Mile Creek massacre in 1838, where white settlers were actually held to account for their crimes, and seven of them were hung. And the belief among scholars is that this sort of prompted a veil of silence over reprisal attacks in the decades following, that when people participated in these activities, they didn't immediately talk about it. Linda Lyon, who is probably among the most highly regarded experts on frontier violence, she looked at this document and she said that it fell in line with some of those later accounts she's read over the years of other massacres, where someone has felt compelled to get the story off their chest and only told the story many, many years later. So the other important thing to note about the document is that it is full of errors. People are already trying to dismantle that. But what can't be denied is that it contains these telling details that only someone familiar with Tom Wills would have known. Those details include Wills's outrage at the theft of a cricket jacket that was particularly prized to him, Another detail is that when he killed one of the local Gayiri, it was with six bullets from the barrel of his gun, and we know that Tom Wills owned a six shooter at the time. So there are these details weaved through the story in among all of the inaccuracies that have gathered in this person's mind over 34 years. There's, I think Greg DeMore called it a thread of truth, and that's really what interested Gary Fearon, who found this, is this document is really grounds for further investigation of Tom Wills and further investigation of the Kalamuringo massacre and its aftermath, because it just really hasn't been thoroughly investigated. And this suggests that an investigation is due.
Just really quickly to my listeners, if you are tuning in, my guest this morning, ABC journalist Russell Jackson. We're talking about one of the pioneers and founders of Australian Aussie Rules, Australian Football League, AFL, and also who was one of the first coaches, I believe, of the first official Aboriginal team to head to England as well. We're talking about some of these discoveries through research in regards to him participating in a massacre of Aboriginal people. Was it in Queensland, was it?
So this is in central Queensland.
Yep.
Around the Springshaw area. Mm. The Kalamuringo station is still there now. The land is pretty much unchanged. And for me, the most fascinating aspect of this whole story was locating a Gayiri man who actually lives down near me in the west of Melbourne, Yamba Conrad Ross, who's a very talented artist and someone who's, you know, really proud of his culture. And unfortunately, like so many Indigenous people, what he's discovered as he's traced his family history is the scale of loss, and the loss of his you know, the near genocide of his people and the loss of their culture is something that marks his life quite profoundly. I spent some time with Yamba last weekend and his boys, and for me, that was the most remarkable aspect of it, was that several, particularly experts on frontier violence who had a knowledge of what had gone on in this area, they said to me that I would never find anyone, that descendants would be extremely hard to locate. And so to find Yamba was a very, it was a remarkable experience in a lot of ways. And I'm thankful to him and his generosity to speak to me and talk about, events that have really profoundly shaped his identity. So that to me, I mean, there's a lot of focus on Tom Wills, but unfortunately what happens with these stories is that's what happens, is the white historical figure is really the focus of the story, and there's very little, there's very little coverage given to the other side of the story. And that's really what's happened through history with the Tom Wills story, is Aboriginal people have almost been written out of his story. And yes, he was the coach of that first Aboriginal cricket team, which eventually he didn't take them to England in 1868. He was replaced by another man, Charles Lawrence, by then. But that team... And this is another example, and so few people have done well at getting acknowledgement for that team in recent years. But that was the first Australian cricket team. It was the first representative cricket team that went to England for a tour was that 1868 Aboriginal team. So that, Wills is linked to that, and as I said, his childhood among Jawarang people, it's probably confounded a lot of people in the time since. And Tom Wills wasn't someone with a lot of self-awareness. He didn't write extensively about his feelings. So into that sort of gap of knowledge, a lot of myths have grown. And so this story is about looking beyond the myths and saying, well, what really happened here?
Some of the people that you mentioned just before, in regards to frontier wars and conflict. I've had a chat to some of them as well for a podcast that I do. And one of the things that you said before that was quite interesting is how, you know, through time and even in these when these events occurred, you know, we don't necessarily hear about Aboriginal people who have died on the frontier. It was very, very hard, especially after Mile Creek, to find out who was involved and or how many people, Aboriginal people, may have lost their lives in a massacre. Let alone hear about other perpetrators. Mm. And some of the times when you would, it was when a non-Indigenous person, a white fella, was killed or injured, and then, you know, it'll be written about and there'll be media around that as well. One thing that I'd like to do as well is the how people are celebrated, and how they're memorialized, especially people from this period of time as well. You know, I'm sure there's many people that you may have known of, or that even our listeners may know of, or certain areas, you know, that are sort of memorialized nowadays, who have actively sort of participated in frontier conflict or other sort of bad sort of horrific events and stuff as well. Like I know Townsville is named after Robert Towns, who was a slave trader and who brought South Sea Islanders over from the South Sea here to Australia, you know, to work in the sugarcane industry, to be enslaved in it. You know, and one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about that is because, you know, we tend to sort of celebrate these people, and we tend to celebrate sort of a side or memorialize a side of history that say that these people are great. And then when we sort of uncover and look deeper, like you have in this article, in a series of articles, we find out that, hey, you know, some of these people who we think are great men or great women have actually participated in some of the most horrific events or horrific things that anybody could ever do to any kind of human being at that as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, an interesting person I spoke to in that regard was Jonathan Richards, a Queensland academic who wrote a history of the Queensland Native Mounted Police. Jonathan participated in the early stages of compiling the massacre map with Lyndall Ryan. And of course, that massacre map tells you a story. There are 300 massacres on that map, and only 12 of them were perpetrated by Aboriginal people. And one thing that both Lyndall and Jonathan made clear to me about Cullamaringo was that it was one of two massacres, and Hornet Bank was the other 4 years earlier, which was 130 kilometres away. But there's a little bit of anecdotal evidence to suggest some of the same people participated in both reprisals. Now, they said to me, these two events, Hornet Bank and Cullamaringo, were really embedded in the white colonial psyche. And what happened as a result of these massacres is that, you know, it really legitimised a culture of retaliation that exceeded the original massacres dramatically. Like I said, 20-1. And these are things we just don't, you know, as Australians, I mean, I'm in my late 30s. These weren't things I learned about at high school. And so a little bit of this is just about who has previously told this history. And I know, you know, I'm a listener of your podcast, Bo, and some of those stories, they're revelations to me. I mean, you talked about Mile Creek. You know, some of these events, they're significant not just for what they are, but the later events that they prompt. And that was certainly the case. The more I delved into this, the more it involved, you know, confronting a whole series of events in Australian history that I, you know, myself had not previously paid much attention to. I mean, Hornet Bank is interesting in that regard. It's a similar scenario where 11 white settlers were murdered by the local Aboriginal people there. And again, that was a retaliation for the way the local Aboriginal people had been treated. And that involved massive reprisals as well. And I think something interesting about this, and it goes back to your really the theme of your podcast, which is shining a light on the heroic Aboriginal figures and the warriors and the resistance of Aboriginal people in these times. I mean, something fascinating that I found out about all of this is that there was an academic named Gordon Reid who wrote a book about the Hornet Bank massacre of 1857, 4 years before Tom Wills' father was killed at Cullamaringo. He wrote a academic paper. It's called From Hornet Bank to Cullamaringo. If you type in Gordon Reid's name and From Hornet Bank to Cullamaringo, you'll find it online. And he draws parallels and links between these two massacres. And something that he says about the killings of the whites in this case is that the term he uses is, it was the inevitable expression of black justice. And this, the concept of black justice is not, again, not something in school. So, yes, we can talk about Tom Wills and we can talk about monuments and all these sorts of things, but I think sometimes that sort of focus on the white historical figure, it obscures all of these other things. And I think that's why, you know, your podcast is certainly important, because it teaches us the other side of that story. So I was thankful for you for your time and the things I learned from your podcast too. But this is it's an event that requires much deeper academic study to get to the truth of it. You know, and I've spoken to academics who've said that is a process that could take anywhere up to 10 years. I mean, Jonathan's book on the Native Mounted Police was the result of almost 2 decades of research. These are things you can't just, you know, open a few books and get, you know, really in-depth study of contemporary newspaper accounts, parliamentary inquiries, all of these sorts of sources to figure out who was in this area at the time and what is the likelihood that Tom Wills was involved. The only other thing I would say about that, and it was quite a remarkable discovery to me, and this is featured if people want to look in my third story, was that in 2005 an academic thesis was published by a man named John McPherson. John McPherson is actually a Wills descendant himself. He's descended from Edward and Sarah Wills, who were Tom Wills' grandparents. John's direct line runs through Thomas Antill, who was Tom Wills' cousin and was also a prominent cricketer of the time. Now, in 2005, John published this thesis, which he'd intended to study what was the influence of the Aboriginal game Mangrook on the formation of Australian rules football. So his interest was really in football, not in anything else. But inevitably, his research led him to this frontier violence. And what John concluded at the end of his studies was that Tom Wills had been involved in a reprisal attack at Snake Ridge. And in John's thesis, he concludes that Tom possibly fired the first shot in that reprisal that cost anywhere up to 300 lives, that particular attack. So that was fascinating to me that a Wills descendant had made that conclusion. And I spoke to John, and 16 years on from publishing that thesis, he's still firmly of the belief that Tom Wills participated. I'm not an academic and I'm not a historian, but I spoke to a lot of people about this, and his perspective on it was one of the most interesting, certainly.
Very interesting. It is as well. If you are just tuning in to Let's Talk, my guest on the program, Russell Jackson, ABC sports journalist. Over the last week and a bit, Russell has put together a series of 3 articles talking about Tom Wills, who is the co-founder of Aussie Rules Football, AFL. And the article speaks closely to his participation, his alleged participation in a series of massacres in central Queensland. And just one of the things that I did want to sort of highlight as well, and you mentioned it as well, a lot of the people that have spoken on the podcast and here on Let's Talk as well, they have, decades, you know, of experience in researching these materials. You know, somebody like Linda Ryan, who you mentioned, I think has almost 40 years of experience within this field, and who has created an amazing resource, the Massacre Map as well. Another thing that I wanted to mention as well is how common massacres would have been and on the frontier, especially with the expansion of land. You know, and what I mean by that is parcels of land being given to squatters or to pastoralists as well. And you know, what happened in Mile Creek was a result of landowners wanting Aboriginal people off the land, and in many other places as well. And there was a huge industry as well, a booming industry within that as well, with you know, raising cattle, you know, farming land. There was a big economic boom to be made within that field as well. So you know, you can imagine, and also another thing that you mentioned is sort of, as well, when I spoke with Linda Ryan, is how common it was for the perpetrators of massacres to be linked to other massacres as well, in various different parts. So some of the men involved in Mile Creek may have been involved in Waterloo Creek, which is a massacre that happened almost 4 to 5 months earlier that year in 1838, sorry. And there was a series of massacres that happened in between and after as well, where some of the perpetrators may have been involved as well.
Well, and you're right, Bo, and that aspect of it is interesting. As I said at Cullamaringo, that there was this massacre occurred 4 years earlier at Hornet Bank, where again the eldest son in that situation, like Tom Wills, was away at the time of the massacre. His name was William Fraser. He was away getting supplies at the time, and he returned. One of his brothers had survived by playing dead, and both of them sought vengeance. Now, historians don't agree 100% on this. Gordon Reid, who I mentioned earlier, who'd studied both of these massacres quite closely and wrote a book on the Hornet Bank massacre, he concluded that the Fraser brothers, based on an anecdote he found from 1927 in a pastoralist magazine, there was someone who gave an account of knowledge that William Fraser, 4 years later, was still seeking vengeance and participated in the reprisals, the Wills reprisals at Cullamaringo. So that's an interesting aspect of the overlap. And certainly there was overlap in the Native Mounted Police personnel in those two massacres as well. So yes, we do find, when we look into these stories, that there are many overlaps, particularly in Queensland, which was Central Queensland at this time was virtually a war zone, from the descriptions I've read, and the scale of killing was immense. So that is also something to bear in mind with this, that the killing in these areas had become almost indiscriminate. And certainly, you know, the more experts you speak to about this, you know, Lyndall said to me that she'd spent some time in Cullamaringo and still felt the menace in the landscape, even 150 years later. So these are, you know, certainly episodes of Australian history that most people don't have a great knowledge of. If anything, good can come out of this. Perhaps it's that people do start looking at these things, and if that resulted in some support for academics and historians, because you know, another finding of my story, I guess, was that there is just not the level of funding for research into frontier violence that we would hope. You know, Jonathan said to me, if this was in Europe, there would be teams of researchers funded to work on it and figure out everything that happened. As it stands, Australia has, you know, fewer than a dozen experts in this field, and most of them are self-funded. And they try and, you know, really get by on the smell of an oily rag to do this research that is actually immensely important. If we're to confront all of Australian history, we need to look into these things.
Yes. And just really quickly, in wrapping up as well, as you mentioned, Queensland being practically a war zone as well in that time. So that's the 1850s?
So this is the early 1860s.
Yeah.
So that entire period, and it really becomes more and more violent through the 1870s and 1880s.
Definitely. And one of the reasons, in the key reasons being, is the formation of the Queensland Native Mounted Police, who were very, very vicious. Even, but outside of the Queensland Mounted Police, there were still violence and massacres are taking place as well. But I've looked at some of that period of time as well, and the link with the violence being perpetrated by the Queensland Native Mounted Police over you know, a period of like 50 years is very, very brutal.
Yeah, and that police force grew out of its New South Wales counterpart, the New South Wales Native Police. They're separate and distinct forces. But as far as that goes, as I said, Jonathan Richards has done a lot of work on that, and he wrote a book called The Secret War. And if people want to find out more about the Queensland Native Mounted Police, Jonathan's really the authority on that, and I would highly, highly recommend reading his book, which, as I said, it was the result of two decades of research. I believe he had funding to sit down for 6 months and write it in the end once he'd gathered all of that information. But really, he funded the rest of that himself. So I think, you know, that's something I discovered too, is that, you know, there are these people who are extremely dedicated to telling these stories and confronting these issues. So his book is, if you want to understand the Native Mounted Police in Queensland, that's certainly the book you should read, The Secret War.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And for anybody who is listening and who is interested in looking at some of your articles, how can people find them?
Okay, so you can go onto the ABC News website. Probably the easiest way to do it is just to Google my name, Russell Jackson, and Tom Wills, and those articles will come up. And there's plenty more information there. And really the focus of those articles is having experts assess this new information and its validity. So it's probably just the beginning of a conversation about this issue, but it will give people an outline understanding of what we're talking about.
Definitely. And whether or not they sort of look into Tom Wills, but, you know, hopefully that gives them agency to sort of look into history in the era that they live in, and how, you know, possibly the celebration of an individual, you know, what's their history and what's sort of their relationship with Aboriginal people within that area at a certain time, you know, may uncover, you know, some dark history in regards to, you know, the founding of your local area. Sadly, you know, what we're talking about is very, very common and happened, if not in all parts of Australia, but many parts of this, on this continent as well. And it's definitely about time that we start really looking into and researching more and more about the true history of this country.
Definitely. And I think you're playing a big part in that, Bo. So congratulations on the work you're doing too.
Cheers. Just for our listeners, really quickly, my guest on Let's Talk, Russell Jackson, as Russell just mentioned, head to ABC, hit the search bar, Russell Jackson and Tom Wills, and those series of articles will come up. It's a very, very important piece of articles, and I think, you know, with the AFL Grand Final just sort of happening over the weekend, I think this is an important discussion to happen and to have with your family, in your workplace, at the pub, wherever, because it's only the tip of the iceberg when talking about the violence that has happened on the frontier here in Australia. But yeah, thanks Russell, and look forward to having a chat sometime soon, and we'd definitely love to get you back on the program as well. Very important stuff you're doing.
My pleasure, Bo.
And if you've enjoyed the program, you can catch the podcast on our website at 989fm.com.au and follow the links to the podcast. You can also check out previous Let's Talk programs.